If God is all-knowing, all-powerful and loving, why is there evil in this world? How could a good God allow the death, pain and suffering we see all around us? This question has been a stumbling block to millions. Do you know the answer?
One of the greatest stumbling blocks in witnessing for many people is the problem of evil.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien for the Institute for Creation Research. Sadly, many have rejected the God of the Bible. Many of those have claimed that they have done so because they can't believe that a good God would allow such evil in the world. I invite you to stay tuned for the next 15 minutes as we talk about the problem of evil and how it relates to creation. Doug Phillips is an adjunct professor of apologetics with the Institute for Creation Research.
One of the greatest stumbling blocks in witnessing for many people is the question of evil, what philosophers and apologists have called the problem of evil. And the problem of evil is basically this. As we look around the world, we see horrible things. We see tornadoes. We see little babies dying. We see people coming up with sicknesses. We see people dying prematurely. We see the horrors of the Holocaust. We see all these terrible things happening. And people say, if God is good, if God is truly all-powerful, how could these events happen? And many people have said that we can't believe in an all-good or all-benevolent God because of the evil we see around us. And the logic basically works like this. If God exists, and if God is all-benevolent, and if evil exists, isn't there a logical contradiction? And many Christians have been stumped by this particular question of the problem of evil.
And this has been one of the major questions that has been raised by the skeptics of the Bible.
The 18th century Scottish philosopher David Hume raised the question of the problem of evil. And here's what David Hume said, and I'm quoting him now. He said, "Is God willing to prevent evil, but not able to? If that's the case, then he's impotent. Is he able to prevent evil, but not willing? If that's the case, he's malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Whence then is evil?" Now basically what David Hume was arguing is that a Christian cannot logically accept these three premises. Number one, that God exists. Number two, that God is all good. And number three, that evil exists in the world today.
Dr. Mark Eastman is a medical doctor and professor of apologetics.
When the skeptic says that the existence of evil disproves the existence of God, they make a fatal error in logic, because the recognition of evil is the recognition of right and wrong, that certain actions are absolutely right and others are absolutely wrong. But where do these come from? They're based on moral law. There is a moral law within all of us that gives us that sense. So the recognition of evil is the recognition of what we call a universal moral law. And where there is moral law, there must be a moral lawgiver. So the existence of evil actually proves that there must be a transcendent moral lawgiver.
So God is the creator who made all things and set up moral law. But then man, in the Garden of Eden, rejected his authority. Jim Stambaugh is a professor at Michigan Theological Seminary.
God told Adam, when you eat this fruit, you will die. And the death there is not just spiritual death, not just physical death, but total death. Death physically, death spiritually, death emotionally. So, and it's hard for us to conceive of what that fall did, because we're so many generations removed from Adam. But when Adam did that, he knew instantly that he had failed, he had fallen.
You see, evil has not come into the world as a result of God's attributes. Instead, it was through man's sin. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Many Christians don't realize that it was man's rebellion that brought death, pain, and suffering into the world. But if God knew ahead of time that mankind was going to rebel, why did he still proceed? Wouldn't that still make him responsible? Well, according to Dr. Eastman,
to fully understand the nature of evil, we must have a complete understanding of the nature of love. God, being a personal being, desired to create us for his good pleasure. That is, that we could have a love relationship with him. In order to do that, he had to give us the capacity of choice. Without the capacity of choice, we would have been mere robots or automatons. So when God created us, he had to give us the choice to do good or to do evil. We cannot receive love from someone unless they have the capacity to not love us, and that is why God had to give us the capacity of choice.
Although this sounds nice, there still is a problem. If God is all-knowing, surely he knew in advance that we would rebel. So why did he create us with this ability to do evil?
The answer, I believe, stems from an understanding of the nature of love. God knew that by giving us the capacity of choice, the two, what I call, side effects of that choice would be the ability to do love, acts of love, and the ability to do acts of evil. But God knew that a universe where love and evil were possible, the side effects of capacity of choice, is a better place than where neither is possible at all.
An example of this is found in a mother's love.
One of my patients in my practice had lost a child to brain cancer. 3 months later, the lady was in my office crying, asking, why did God allow this? I asked her a question. I said, you have 3 children. One of them has died. If you had to do it over again, knowing that one of these children would die this horrible death, would you do it again? With tears in her eyes, she cried and said, yes, I would. Yes, I would, because the love that I receive from my children outweighs the pain and the suffering of this evil event. Yes, I would. Then it hit me. This mother was in a similar predicament as God before he made the universe. Knowing that having children would result in this horrible event, she went forward with it in this thought experiment because love outweighed evil. In like manner, God, knowing that creating us with the capacity of choice would result in such evil, but also such great love, he went forward with the creation of man, knowing that the love we would receive from each other, the love he would receive from us, would outweigh the evil, that side effect of the capacity of choice.
Doug Phillips.
And so even in the problem of evil, what we do see ultimately is the love of God and the ultimate expression of God's love for mankind. So the problem of evil, rather than being an obstacle to faith, is actually one that points us to God and points us to Jesus Christ.
Sadly, many Christians don't fully understand this issue of the problem of evil. This is because many still don't accept the literal account of Genesis that tells of man's original rebellion.
You know, one of the key issues that where Satan has been raising a confusion deception against the body of Christ has to do with our interpretation of the book of Genesis. It's become very popular within evangelical circles and within seminaries today for people to question the literalness of the book of Genesis. Now, the minute you begin to question the fact, was there a real Adam? Did God create in 24-hour, 6 of those days? Was there a real serpent that tempted a real Adam? The minute you question that, Christians lose the ability to address the problem of evil, because it's in the Genesis account, in understanding a literal interpretation of the Genesis account, that we are able to give an answer to these questions. Every time we see a tornado, every time we hear about a fire or an earthquake, we can know one thing for sure. This is not the way it was in the Garden of Eden, where there was perfection and beauty and glory. So it's because a real Adam was tempted by a real serpent and ate of a literal fruit that God had forbidden him from, that mankind and all of the earth and all of the universe, in fact, has been plunged into sin. That's one of the great dangers of beginning to minimize the effect of the Scripture or trying to make it allegorical or metaphorical, and that's what we see happening in the world today.
And, as Doug has pointed out, it's important that we know that God created the world in 6 literal days. If we believe that it was millions of years, then we have another problem. Those who believe that the days of creation were long periods of time would have to say that animals were living and dying long before Adam and Eve ever existed. That means that death existed before sin came into the world. But remember Romans 5:12? It says that death came into the world as a result of man's sin. Jim Stambaugh explains.
In my understanding of the Scriptures, I think the age of the earth is integrally tied up with the problem of evil. Because you see, if God created the world, as the Bible tells us, without death, without pain, without suffering, that all those are foreign into it, you know, we can see then it makes really no sense to believe in an old earth, you know, where you have death, pain, and suffering having been created by God in the beginning. And again, when one builds a consistent Christian theology, you can see in Genesis 1, there's no death, pain, and suffering. It is brought in by man. However, in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, once sin is vanquished from God's creation, what is brought in by God himself? There is no death. There is no pain. There is no suffering. And according to Revelation 22, verse 3, there is no longer any curse. So what man brought into the creation by his sin? God vanquishes sin in Revelation chapter 20. He vanquishes sin. And because of that, death, pain, suffering, and the curse are then vanquished themselves. So you can see it fits perfectly together. And so the age of the earth is really tied up with the whole problem of evil. And if one believes in an old earth, one cannot have a consistent answer to that question.
Doug Phillips.
As Christians, we need to emphatically stand on the Word of God as being true just as God wrote it. Only then are we going to be able to answer these very difficult questions that the world is asking all the time. How can there be evil in the world? There's evil in the world because man rebelled against an infinite, holy God. But even in that evil, even in that sin, God still had a purpose and plan. That's the message of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Even in Adam's sin, there is redemption because we learned about the power and the love of Jesus Christ, who Genesis 3:15 tells us would ultimately triumph over the serpent.
Dr. Eastman.
A while back, a gentleman was at my house, and I was sharing with him these things on the problem of evil. And I pointed out to him that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and that that eternal life comes through faith in Christ. And he said, it's not fair that I should have to pay the penalty for my wrong choices or my sins, because I did not choose to create myself in this way with this capacity of choice and therefore this capacity to do evil. He said, it's not fair. And I asked him what would be fair. And he thought, and he thought, and then I asked him this. I said, would it be fair, say, since God's the one that made you with the capacity of choice, if, say, God paid the penalty for your bad choices? And he said, yes, that would be fair. God should have to pay the penalty for my bad choices. And I said, gotcha. That's what he did. When God came to the world in Christ Jesus, the God-man, and paid the penalty on that cross for your sins, that's exactly what he did. So we cannot look at God and say, you're not fair. Indeed, it reveals the great love that God has for mankind, that he would create us for love, and then in love pay the penalty for our sins, which were the result of the way he created us in the first place. A God of love indeed can be seen when we look at the things that are made.
Jim Stambaugh.
Ever since man fell, God has been in the business of establishing a relationship with man. He's been reaching out to man over and over and over again. And you see, that is the heart of the gospel. And that is why God sent his Son in the person of Jesus Christ, in human likeness, to die on the cross and take the penalty for my sin and everyone else's sin. But all we must do is then commit our lives to him, believe in his sacrifice, and then we are saved.
We hope our program today has strengthened your faith. We're convinced that the book of Genesis is the foundation for our beliefs. Are you familiar with the scientific evidence for the book of Genesis? If not, I invite you to ask for our free information packet. Just ask for it when you get in touch with ICR. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7-GENESIS. 1-800-7-GENESIS. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. I'm Chris O'Brien for the Institute for Creation Research. Thanks for tuning in.